Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
This is an exclusive Dean Tour interview. You might be wondering why Hussein's not here. Hussein wasn't well, so we couldn't make it to this podcast. Do our eyes up for him. We're interviewing our brother Aiden and Revert. He just got out of prison last week. It's going to be a great podcast. Before we get started, I want to give a big thank you to Human Development Fund for allowing this to be possible. We are currently working with them to raise money for a Kenya campaign. We're going to be going to Kenya next month. Food, meals, anything you could think of. Click the link in our bio to donate and help any way you can. We're doing our part. You should do your part. So inshallah, may Allah bless us all. And السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Aiden, what's up, bro? Oh my God. It's been such a long time. Probably our entire audience doesn't even know or remember who this guy was.
But here's the thing, though. There's a few of you guys that are watching this that remember. If you go back to episode 3 of the Dean's Over podcast, what are we on now? 127, 128. You'll see our brother here. And this was actually before he became a Muslim, subhanAllah.
Mm-hmm. That was way before. That was when I was learning still and still trying to figure things out.
So for those of you who don't know, Aiden is our Revert Muslim brother. He's been our friend for a very long time, for years now, years or years, since we were teenagers. And then Aiden just got out of prison. This is actually like his first week back. And you know, subhanAllah, we had to have him on a podcast. He's ready to tell us about his experiences, his life, his story, what it's like in prison. Things like that. So tell us, like, what are you feeling right now? Let's go.
Honestly, I'm still getting used to everything, but I know that it's like before I went to prison, I did take my Shahada in January 13th of 2023. And I was just started. I barely knew anything. I still knew things, but not as much as I knew now, praying-wise and deen-wise. But since then, that whole experience is like Allah had legitimately took me back to zero in life, not being able to do anything. Mm-hmm. And to the point of where I am now, it rebuilt me into who I am now. And it's like, I don't ever want to turn around and go backwards. It's like, now I just keep going forwards.
Mm-hmm. So what's it like being here now with us? Like, I remember yesterday, man, we had a pretty long hug. I remember as soon as you got out, you were with Osman and stuff like that. So what's it like?
It feels amazing, like a lot, really amazing, being able to do what I could do now, just praying-wise, like, just being able to pray with you guys feels amazing. Mm-hmm. That's really what I love, too, is, like, now that I could pray with y'all and I actually understand it, mm-hmm. and understand the meaning behind it, mm-hmm. and I love it.
Because here's the thing, when you were in there and we'd be talking on the phone, you know, like almost every single conversation, you're like, man, I can't wait to get out. First day I get out, we going to the mosque. Inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. And, you know, the first Friday, you know, you came back, we went to Jummah. How did that feel? Going to your first Jummah in I don't know how long.
Honestly, that was the first real Jummah, like, outside of the mosque that I have been to in 3 years. And it felt amazing. Like, mm-hmm. when I sat there, it's just, I felt so locked in and just the feeling you get. Like, before I had reverted, it felt good, Mm-hmm. But like when I actually got to sit there and be at the masjid for my first Juma and forever, it honestly felt amazing. I felt so mentally and physically at peace. Like mm-hmm. nothing could bring me down from that moment.
You guys had Juma in prison, right?
Yeah, we did. It's about five. It depends on where you go. Honestly, there's a lot of Muslim brothers in prison. Like, mm-hmm. A lot. And you'll be surprised. Like, I met a brother he was in his 80s, almost 90s, and he's from Jerusalem. And he grew up growing his own food. He had told me how he had walked. I think he said he walked from Egypt to Saudi.
What the heck?
Yeah, he said he walked. And I was like, bro, and he doesn't look like it. He looks like he's in his 60s and he's in his late 80s. And I had, it was actually when I was on my way to where I just was in St. Pete. Mm-hmm. I had met him in Orlando.
I remember you telling me about him. You told me about him like a year and a half ago.
I had learned a lot from him. He taught me a lot praying wise. It was like, oh, don't move. Like, don't move at all. Don't rock. He had taught me a lot. And I had took what I had learned from him and kept moving forwards. Mm-hmm. I've took a little bit of what I learned from different people, and I had just kept learning mm-hmm. as best I could.
When you guys were in prison, who did the juma? Who did the khutbah?
There was one designated person we had named like an imam. They had named, and that's who pretty much did the khutbahs most time. But it depends, like where I was the longest. We had one individual person that did it, but he had someone as well that every once in a while he would mm-hmm. do one as well.
And like, how were other people, like other people in the prison towards it? Were they?
So it was Muslims, honestly, yeah. They looked at the Muslims as they called it, like, I don't like how they called it, but they were called it like a gang because they know that no one's going to ever come and mess with them.
Really?
What's going to happen if they do. Mm-hmm. Like, they never messed with them at all. They always left them alone and no one ever bothered them. Because mm-hmm. they know that like a lot of stuff, like, how people are towards them and what would happen if they come towards a Muslim.
Mm-hmm. Here's the other thing, though. How many people would you say would look at what you guys were doing and then would try to ask you guys questions, maybe even try to learn or get onto that path?
There's a good amount, honestly. Like, I've had people that seen me, they know that I've never missed a prayer. Like, I haven't missed I haven't missed a single salat in over 3 to 4 years, no matter what, nothing. I'm always praying. So I've had people that I had talked to and they asked me questions. I answered them. If I couldn't answer it, there's times where I called Osman, got the answer from him and told him. And I think I've talked to like three or four people who ended up taking their shahada.
Wow. SubhanAllah. That's crazy. No, because he would always ask me, he'd be like, because sometimes I don't answer the phone. He'll be like, hey, call me back real quick. You know, he'll leave me a text message. I'll call him back. He'll be like, hey, I got a question. He's like, hey, man, I was looking around Google and stuff like that. I just want to make sure this is correct, too. And I'm just like, yeah. You know?
I'm curious. Like, what was the demographic? Were they mostly old people, young people who are Muslims? Like, did you get along with them? Were they your friends? Like,
yeah, there's some that I didn't see eye to eye with. Like, mm-hmm. on certain things that they would do, I didn't like how they would do. And certain things, how they would do things. And then it's like, okay, well, now I see how your mindset is and what you want and what you're trying to do. And that's not right. That's not how I do things. So I'll be like, okay, regardless, I'm still going to give you a greeting, but I just don't talk to you and be around you. Because mm-hmm. what you do, I don't like how you do certain things. And when I try to help you and tell you certain things, you don't like it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people see it as my age.
Yeah.
I'm younger than them and they're older. So they don't think that.
You know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Hey. So do you have any like crazy stories? I want to know like what the day in the life, like what was it like?
There's a lot of things that like I've seen, a lot of things I've experienced. And it's like, it's like, all right, you wake up in the morning. Every place is different, but breakfast, like breakfast and eating times, like the way they feed you, mm-hmm. you get fed 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. But the human body only needs 1,500 calories to survive. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all you need. So they'll feed you 3 meals a day, and all like combined, the 3 meals calorie wise is 1,500 calories.
Mm. So not big meals.
No, you'll eat breakfast at like between 4-5 o'clock in the morning. You'll eat lunch between 12 to 1, and you'll eat dinner at like 6:30 to 7.
And they wake you up?
Yeah, they wake you. They'll just make like while I was at Workley's. With Workley's, like, you pretty much you have an ankle monitor and everything on. You live at one set facility, and you're allowed to leave, but the only time you leave is when you're going to work. If you're not going to work, or you're going home to visit for a little while, then you're staying at the center.
Now, it's subhanAllah that you got the opportunity to be able to work a job and still be in prison. Because here's the thing, too. Like, the way I look at it, you have a lot of people who are not in that position, who have everything, and yet they're not even taking advantage of that. Like, for example, you know, they're not locked up. They're not anything like that. You know, they don't want to work. They don't want to do anything like that. But here you are, you know, even while in prison, finding a way to go ahead and make an income for yourself, try to go ahead and better yourself, you know, because what you got in there, all you got is time.
Yeah.
You got time to go ahead and better yourself. You have time to go ahead and read upon things that you didn't have time, quote unquote, time to do before. Because here's the thing, I'm sure that changed your perspective, you know, being able to have all that, you know, that time.
And this is the thing.
No, I was going to say that. Like, that's one thing I love is, like, especially about you, is that you don't let your past define you. Like, not at all. You still, like, I get, like, the most respectful, lighthearted vibes. Like,
dude, not even it's just that. Like, it's the perspective that he was taking. Because you got to understand something, too.
That's what I was going to get into. Go ahead.
Because, look, when you look at his situation, right, you think that everything was against him. The people that try to put him in there were against him. You know, people are looking at the situation, man, that situation really sucks. But the other hand, this is the same guy that was calling me talking about some, hey, I just finished reading the Quran. I ain't got nothing but time in here. Guess what I did? I read it again. Oh, I memorized this one. Oh, I was learning about this. I read this book. Oh, guess what? I got a job as well. Hey, I just got a certificate. Like, subhanAllah. Like,
he doing more than me.
Exactly. He doing like way more.
And it's so crazy to me, right? After my first month in there, I was still talking to Osman, calling him, like, talking as much as we can. Like, and I remember I was like, bro, this is what I get. Like, because after I took my Shahada, I was in the dunya before. And I was like, on this day, as soon as it was in January, as soon as New Year's came, I remember I told Osman and I told myself, on this day, all the things that I've been doing that haram, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that. And I had people that told me, bro, everybody say that. And they didn't believe me. I kid you not, wallahi, as soon as that day came, done. Mm-hmm. I hadn't done anything since then. And then I was working still, but I never made time to make salat. I think I prayed maybe once a day, and it was only if I had time to pray Fajr before I went to work.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was still doing good, though. None of the things I was doing, and then I fell back down. I stopped praying, stopped trying to learn. And then the day I had missed a Jumu'ah, then I had turned around and I missed another one for the stupidest reason. And then my court date was on a Friday, the same time as Jumu'ah. So I'm like, bro. I remember when I got to prison, it was like a month ago, and I was like, Brosman, this is what I get for not taking the dean seriously and taking everything seriously. Mm-hmm. And then Osman had turned around and said, bro, it's not a punishment if it brings you closer to Allah. And when he said that, I thought about it after we got off the phone for like 20 minutes. And I was like, bro, he's right. Now I got to take advantage of this. When I was out, I never read the Quran at all. In prison, I was in prison for 3 years. I read the Quran front to back, I think 8 to 9 times.
Subhanallah.
I memorized 5 surahs. And ever since then, I just kept going. I kept trying to learn, And I really got blessed when I had continued to pray 5 times a day, continued to read the Quran, continued to memorize surahs. I learned how to write I could write in numbers in Arabic. I have the Arabic alphabet written down. I just haven't learned the alphabet yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I did a lot. And then I got blessed by Allah and able to go to Workley's. At Workley's, I got involved in a program that I had got my OSHA 30, a construction license, a carpentry license, a forklift license, a relationship building license.
Oh, my God.
I did all that in 3 months. I got all those certificates. Then I turned around after that, got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Allah spent with the Isla because when I got out, I was able to purchase my own place, and I bought my own car the same day I got out.
Had a lot.
So I got blessed by everything he did. And one thing I promise is I'm not going to go down that missing prayer. There's no reason to. You could pray anytime. You could pray sitting down, standing up. In prison, I had a job. I worked outside, and I was cutting grass, doing things like that. And I look up, oh, it's time to pray. I know it's time to pray. I looked at the time, everything. And there's no water out there. I'm use grass. I use the water out the side of the cool made wudu, and I'll pray. I prayed on the side of the road.
Uh-huh.
I prayed on sidewalks. I prayed on grass. Like,
dude, that's crazy because, look, subhanAllah, the fact that you just brought that point up, ever since you went out, you know, it's almost been a week now. And, you know, we've been together almost every single day. You know, it don't matter what time it would come. He's reminding us to
pray. Yeah.
He's reminding us to pray. You know what I mean? He's like, hey, we gotta pray.
I remember when we visited him on Thanksgiving and he led us in Salah. Like that was a surreal moment right there.
Exactly. Cause look, here's the thing. I remember we were out with all our friends one night and he's like, hey, we got to pray Isha. And then, you know, some of us said we'll do it for Maghrib. And, you know, another friend of ours, he said, oh, I don't got water. He told me, hey, we can make them. You can make them. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's crazy the fact that he just picked up on all this stuff. And, you know, he's out here, you know, really using it and, you know, leading by example now. Because we got to understand, too, you know, like you said, that your past is not going to completely define you. Because at the end of the day, look at the Sahaba. They were all reverts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, these are all people that reverted to Islam. These are all people that, you know, have done things that, you know,
weren't exactly praiseworthy.
Exactly. Yeah. Right? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, look at the example of Umar ibn Khattab. Like, he tried to kill the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And now look at him, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of tells, you know, it kind of gives insight into, like, it's not like about how you start, it's about how you finish.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the things that you learn around, you kind of have an experience that me and Osman don't have, like, not a lot of people have. It's an experience of going from, you know, a path you weren't really proud of to something that you can look back on and it's like, I can't believe I changed myself like that.
And it's crazy because I've been in so many situations since that had happened where it's like, and I look at how I took that situation and it could be like 20 minutes later, a week later, and I sit there, I'm like, I'm actually so proud of myself because if you would have caught.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Me 2, 3, 4 years ago, mm-hmm. I know what I would have done in that situation. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now I look at it as like, this, the person that said this or did this towards me, and I turn around and I laughed. and I was just like, yeah. And I just walked away. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, bro, I remember the old me. I would have never did something like that. I would have just been like, what? And reacted. And now it's just like, I look at it and I laugh because it's like, at the end of the day, you, what anyone says, you will never matter. Mm-hmm. What this person says about you and what this person said about you, you could just, you don't need to react to them. You can laugh and be like, okay, or smile or walk away because that's going to make them more mad. Because at the end of the day, you know that that person's opinion and Allah's opinion. Allah's opinion matters. Their opinion will never matter about you. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's like, bro, I don't care what nobody says. It's I did what I did in my past, but that was all because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned that for me so that I can get put in certain situations so that I could become changed from that point to that point. And I'm just proud of myself and who I am now. It's like now I'm at the point where, like I said, I memorized 5, 6 surahs. I've read the whole Quran front to back 5, 8 times in 3 years. And it's like, at one point, and it's so crazy how I did it. I got to the point where every day I cannot stop. I need to read. I read one whole surah the whole day. Mm-hmm. Like, I will not stop reading the Quran until I finish the whole surah. Mm-hmm. Then I could, okay, I'll go do this or go do that. But till I then, like, and then I was like, all right, I finished the Quran. And I turned around and said, all right, I'm going to read 4 pages a day. Mm-hmm. And I read 4 pages a day. Then I finished it. Then I read 2. Now I'm restarting. Now I'm reading 3 surahs a day, I'm reading 3 pages a day.
Mm-hmm. So I want to ask, when you got out, you got out last week, right?
Yeah, Wednesday.
How did the people closest to you react to like how you are now? Obviously, yeah, me and Osmond, like family and your friend.
Yeah, it's my mom. When I had first taken my shahada, I had told her, but they didn't realize how serious I took it, you know. And then I got out and. It's funny, Thursday, me, my mom, my grandma out to dinner. Beforehand, I always ate with my left hand. So I'm eating with my right hand. And they're like, what are you doing? Why are you trying to eat with your right hand? And I told them, they was like, okay. Like they don't, because they don't understand. I'm like, I'm like, and it's so funny because my whole life I always ate with my left hand, and when I learned, okay, I got to eat my right hand, I honestly, it took me a week. After one week, I was eating with my right hand with no problem, just so used to it. Because anytime I pick up my fork and use my left and do something, I'm like, oh, hold on. Because I mentally and know my, I dropped the fork right there and I changed my right hand immediately. Mm-hmm. And after a while, it's like, came easy. It's really anything you do, bro, it's mentally. Mm-hmm. It takes 30 days to break a bad habit.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say the hardest part is? Just getting started, right?
Yeah,
just like with anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, if that
it's like riding a bike. You gonna start. You start when you first try. You can't do it, but if you mentally want to do something and you mentally push yourself to that point, and you know you're doing it for a set reason, it's like breaking a bad habit. You know that you have a reason to do it. You have a reason to do it, but you got to extend past that. It's not just because you want to do it because it's not good for you. You do it because you know that you're not supposed to do it. You know that you do it before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because. But Allah don't need any of us. Mm-hmm. Like I was listening to a lecture on the way up here yesterday. Mm-hmm. And he said that everyone, if everyone in this world got together to worship Allah, it would not make his power or his greatness any better. Mm-hmm. Because he don't need us at all. Mm-hmm. Where he, nothing we do matters. He doesn't need it. Mm-hmm. Whether if everyone got together and only did haram, it won't affect Allah at all.
Yeah. Right. No, subhanAllah. Like, point that you're just bringing up, that just shows you, like, with any type of sin or any type of bad habit that you're trying to break, and you know shaitan's in your head, and you even get in your own head talking about some I can't stop and this and that, like, no, the hardest part is, you know, just going ahead and making that effort to go ahead and stop.
Yeah,
you know, realizing the fact that who you're sinning against, not just, you know, not being like, oh, this is a major sin, this is a minor sin. Look at the one who you're sinning against.
Yeah,
look at Allah, like, you know, the most great, you know.
And it's so crazy because it's and I look at it as more than that, right? Like I used to do vape, whatever, right? And I knew that I'm not supposed to do that. And I look at so many people who can't stop. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, it's hard. Like, dude, I just randomly one day woke up and I made up my mind, I'm done. And I kid you not, wallahi, I haven't done it since then. I'm like, all right, I'm done. And everyone's like, bro, you is nah, nah,
bro,
nah.
That's like a big problem. Like
nowadays. It is, bro. It's a big problem for a lot of people, but they don't. And it's crazy because a lot of people, they say, oh, bro, I just don't have... I can't. But that's what people mess up at, is when you tell yourself you can't do something, you can't do something. Mm-hmm. But that's not because you can't do it. It's because you mentally just put yourself at a point where you told yourself you can't do it. You didn't even try it. Mm-hmm. Like when you say, I can't do something, that's a lot of people's problem. I think we talked about it on the phone one day.
Nah, I remember one time, like, in a group setting, they tell me, oh, we can't do this. Nah, don't put me in that little box with y'all. you talking about something, we can't do something. Who's
you,
we?
You box yourself. And when you say you can't, you just limited yourself and your abilities. Because you could do a lot more than you think you could do. And the only thing that stops you is you.
Yep.
You could do more than you know. Like I said, bro, I just upped in one morning, woke up, and I was like, bro, I'm done. And I stopped doing it. I haven't done it since. Yeah, you're going to have times where, like, I haven't done it over a couple of years, but there's been times where I did it once and I did it for a little while, and then I'm like, bro, I'm tripping, right? I know I ain't supposed to do this. I'm done. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, yeah, okay. Again, I'm like, bro, and I love that. I love when people doubt me because I laugh. I'm like, oh, I can't?
Okay. Just like I was.
Oh, I can't? Oh, man, watch this.
And I watched, and I did it again, and I stopped again. I haven't done it over three, four, 5 months, and it's like, when you're around people that do it, sometimes, like, yeah, I want to do it. I want to hit it. But, you know, then I'm like, you know what? I'm tripping. Like, I don't need that. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. It's just Satan wants me to do that because I've been doing so well. It's like, I know when I've been doing so well on my deen, because that's when I noticed that. That's really when Satan be trying to get me with certain things. I'm just like, yeah, no, I ain't going down that route again. It's not worth it. It's not worth my time. It's not, bro. Because then you realize, then you start, when you quit, right? You're doing so well and you realize, bro, I just calculated how much money I was spending on a daily basis on all this haram. I'm like, all that money I was spending haram, I look at how much money I have now. Mm-hmm. You spend, say hypothetically, $200 a week on one thing. Then you do another thing. You spending 40, you go out one night. You spending $200-$400 that night. Mm-hmm. Then you spend $30-$40 every 2 weeks. Like, you add all that money up. Bro, that's all the money you could have in your pockets, and you could go do anything else with. Like,
it's all going to haram. Like, right.
Yeah, exactly. It's all going to haram. On the other hand, when you could even give a small portion of that to something good, Allah multiplies it. Mm-hmm. You know?
That makes me want to give a big shout out to our people who made this possible, Human Development Fund. We're going to be going to Kenya next month, inshallah. Sitting here, we're raising funds. Click the link in our bio. We're trying to help people in need in Kenya, food, meals, clothes, anything you can name it. You just heard the man. You give in sadaqa one time, you give in charity one time, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies it for you. And you heard Aiden here too. You can do a lot more than you think you can do. And just like this, we're trying to make our effort. We're trying to raise funds for these people. We're trying to do our best. We're trying to help. We're going to be on the ground. We're going to show you all the content. We're going to show you where your money's going. And inshallah, you know, click the link in our bio. And inshallah, you guys can give whatever you, even a dollar makes a difference. So we'll get back. I have one question for you that it came up during the podcast. What was Ramadan like? Especially as a reaver and also in prison, like
my first Ramadan I did in prison. I did three of them in prison, and it's like, all right, they'll wake you up and we'll go eat breakfast at like 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
After that, at night they'll give us food, but the only thing they're gonna give you to break your fast is they're gonna give you like two apples or an apple, mm-hmm. And like. Two bologna sandwiches and two peanut butter sandwiches. Mm-hmm. And that's it. That's all you'll get. Mm-hmm. You can get sponsors to bring stuff, but some places make it way too difficult. Like, they had a sponsor before I got there, and the prison just made them feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. the way that they would treat them and everything like that. So then it became very difficult to get a sponsor.
Mm-hmm. They will sponsor the meals for the entire Ramadan?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can get dates and stuff like that, but you got to go through a whole process because you got to go to the dude, the chaplain that they have that runs the whole, all the religious stuff. Mm-hmm. You got to go to him.
Dude, I remember because one time he called me up. He's saying like, oh, if you guys want to try to help out with something. And I remember like when he was trying to like tell me like what the whole process was. I'm like, dude, why got to be this difficult to go ahead and just try to give a few things?
Yeah, they make it really difficult for us, bro. And it's so, and you know what, bro? It's so crazy because they make it so difficult for the Muslims. But bro, the Christians, bro, they had people coming every week and really? Bringing food, coffee, whatever. They had them coming literally every week. They had something. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, y'all do all that. But when we try to do something, you want to make it so difficult for these people.
So what was it? So during the day, you said they wake you up 4 or 5 a.m. Were you working at that time?
Yeah, I worked outside. So I would be outside cutting grass. And
while you were fasting?
While I was fasting.
What about the other Muslims? How were they?
They were good. There was some of them that worked outside as well. Some of them worked in the kitchen. So what they would do is they'll put a couple things off to the side to put inside the inside for us to eat as well if they can.
Oh, no way. That's crazy. What was Eid like? You guys celebrated? Like
we all made some food, put some food together and made something happen for us every time.
MashaAllah.
It was something like it was an experience definitely, but it's definitely like a humbling experience like as a Muslim because you're like, bro, I remember, you know what's so funny is a year to 2 years before anything had even happened, me and Osman were in the car one day. He was like, bro, what they gonna do? Like, he was like, because I remember what we were talking about. He's like, bro, you lock me up, you don't give me nothing but time, mm-hmm. to study and become better, like.
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought about that. I'm like, bro, he's being real. Like, bro, in prison, you have nothing but time, bro. Mm-hmm. You have nothing better to do. I was in confinement at one point for like 2 months for something. Bro, I kid you not. All I did all day, 7 days a week, I worked out, I read the Quran, and I prayed. That's it for 7 days a week for 2 months straight, bro. That's it.
Now, here's the thing. You say that now, being put in that situation, what do you have to say to the people who have everything right there in front of them? And they're not using it. They're not taking advantage of it.
You got to take advantage of it. Come tell you, especially when it comes to little things, bro. Like, when it comes to you not praying or you not reading the Quran and taking time. Like, bro, you take time out of your day to do the things you know you need to do, bro. Mm-hmm. And put your priorities first. Put Allah first, bro, every time. And he will put you first in certain situations, bro. I wasn't taking nothing serious at all. He put me in prison. I did 3 years in prison. I turned around and came out, and I changed a lot. Like, yeah, and it's so crazy because I'd be telling people, like, bro, I hated every second of it, but at the same time, I liked it. But the only reason why I say I liked it before people say I'm crazy is because I had time. Hey, bro, Allah gave me so much time to do nothing but study, learn, and develop. Like, I remember I was on the phone with Osman. We were talking, and I was like, we just having a conversation about the deen. He was like, bro, you are so shivered, bro. I'm like, bro. Like, cause we were talking about something, bro, and we just got so in depth about it. And it was like, I remember before I could, like, I wouldn't be able to have that type of conversation.
I was just gonna say, cause yeah, that's coming from an outside point of view, just being able to, I want you to imagine, right? Somebody who you can't have those type of conversations with to now being the ones who leads you in those types of conversations is like crazy to think about, subhanAllah. Like when I just told you guys, you know, podcast episode number 3, right? I mean, just go look at that podcast episode and then rewatch this episode.
I know
afterwards.
It's like 1,000 times. Like, subhanAllah.
And the other thing is too, I remember seeing a comment on that podcast episode saying the non-Muslim here looks uncomfortable. Now look at us. Now yeah, look, it's him. He wearing his thobe and everything.
And we don't get ourselves. Like, so it's like, mashallah. It's like the growth is unfathomable.
It's in such a, you know, short amount of time, right? You know, I'm obviously not trying to belittle, you know, the time that you spend in there, but like, subhanAllah, like 2 to 3 years, you really put that off to the side and it could really change your life forever. Like, you know, some of you guys who don't have like the Quran Pro app, you know, this is not no sponsorship or anything like that, but I genuinely love using the app Quran Pro. You know, you sit there, you have, you know, a ton of different reciters and it gives you like a little background information on that reciter, right? You know, like where they grew up, where they're from, how old they are, you know, things like that. And something like commonly that I see is the fact that a lot of these reciters, they were able to memorize the entire Quran in just a span of a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? I just want you to imagine now, right? Let's say you're 25 years old now. You're like, oh no, it's too late for me to memorize the Quran. But realistically, by 27, if you really put your mind to it, you could really have it, you know, all memorized by the will of Allah, mm-hmm. right? But the thing is, though, if you get caught into that mentality, oh no, that's gonna take too long. Either way, you're gonna be 27 years old regardless, so you might as well try to start right now.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And it's, I learned 5 surahs in prison, right? Mm-hmm. I think four or five. I gotta recount them, but I learned that in the span of 3 to 4 months, mm-hmm. and it's only because of the way I did it. Like I said, I got to the point where I read the Quran, 8 times, right? And I'm like, okay, now I know how I learn. I know how I learn as a person. So I nonstop, I read the same surah 4 times. I just keep reading it and keep reading it. And I got to myself where I mentally disciplined myself. I will read one ayat multiple times to the point where I could close my eyes and read and just say it. And then look back. And if I got stuck, I open my eyes and look, okay, this is where I was at. Now I'm going to restart. Now I can't stop until I get 3 ayats memorized. And that's when I'll be like, all right, look, I'm gonna close it, put it off the side, and I'm gonna say the whole thing. Now I know I got it. Okay, I could take a break, I could relax, just read it. I'm gonna read a book now. Yeah. And then I'm gonna go back and do it again. And I memorized it all in English. And then I'm like, okay, now I did that. Now I went to somebody else. Okay, listen, that Iman at the time who knew the Quran, like, hey, listen, I need you to write this down in Arabic for me. Like, write it down so I could recite it. He was like, all right, here's a knot. And then he taught me a trick. He said, this is what you do. You let somebody recite it, you listen to the recitation, because they give you a tablet in prison. Mm-hmm. So some people buy music. I bought a couple songs or whatever. And I'm like, wait, listen, I look. I'm like, wait, they got the Quran on here. So I found a reciter and I started downloading recitations on there. So he was like, listen to the recitation and write it down how you hear it. It don't matter if it's right how you hear it. Write it how you hear it, and that will get you. So now when you start reciting it, it's right still. It just, maybe it's not written right, but it's how you hear it. And now you start reciting it how you hear it.
You know what's crazy about that? You know, one of the strongest way to memorize the Quran is to write it down. Write it down in Arabic.
Yeah, because here's the thing too. Like, when I went to go ahead and like try to start memorizing more surahs, it was the fact of when I was able to sit there and look at the Quran, actually read the Arabic letters, mm-hmm. and then envision the letters in my head. Yeah. It's just like writing it, right? Yeah, you envision the letters, you're writing them down, you know, you're actively learning. But like just envisioning the page, you know, just right there in my head. Like, I don't know. That's just me though. For some of you guys, I might sound crazy, but like that's what helped me out.
If you look at it, if you know Arabic, it's easier for y'all.
You didn't know Arabic.
I don't know it. So it's like, that's what I was going to say. Like, my recommendation to the reverts who don't know Arabic is listen to the Quran and write it down how you hear it.
Yeah, and like then, a transliteration.
Yeah, and then you just start constantly reading it. Like, you read one line at a time. Mm-hmm. Once you got that memorized to the point where you can look away and recite what you recited, all right, now you move on to the next line. You constantly do that. Now, say once you got two or three lines memorized, now you You get individually. Now you recite it. You recite it together, mm-hmm. and then you keep moving that way, yep. and you'll get it memorized, bro. It's like, and it's this is the way I looked at it. Is we can memorize a rap song or whatever. You right. can memorize that as if you're the rapper, but you can't memorize a Quran recitation. It's the same thing. Like from a reverse point of view, as someone that constantly listen to music, when you listen to it, you can memorize that. So why can't you memorize the Quran if you can memorize a rap song that you don't need, you didn't even write? Like you could, it's not hard. Like my first time listening to Quran, I was like, Osman, this sounds like a song. And then that's how I started listening to it. And then I'm like, you know what? Okay. Now I got to the point where, okay, I listen to the Quran more than I listen to music. Like I really barely listen to music nowadays. Mm-hmm. Cause it's like my mind is on how right. I can get better.
You know, SubhanAllah, what would you say to the people like that were probably in your position right now? Some people, you know, they were in prison, you know, they come out, they're Muslim or any reverse. Like, what would you say?
We actually talked about it in prison, right? Mm-hmm. And one day we were just talking about it. It was like after Juma, we were all just sitting there talking. It was like, bro, because a lot of people reverted to Islam in prison. Mm-hmm. But it was like, yeah, like, so they in their mind is, we when they get out, that just because they had tattoos and everything before, they're like, bro, like, because a lot of them, like I said, they took their shahada in prison. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, a lot of people ain't going, like, we go to the masjid, people ain't going to look at it. Like, they're going to look at us like we're crazy. Like, they're not going to believe we're Muslim, just down a third. I'm like, bro, listen, I've been to the masjid before I even took my shahada. And you see people that are like that already. Like, mm-hmm. but no one's going to judge you based upon that, bro. Mm-hmm. You did what you did, and Allah put you in that situation to be who you are now, bro. Mm-hmm. So really, that no one's gonna judge you based upon that,
bro. And here's the other thing too, right? Nobody can say anything. I don't care. There is no Muslim alive today that could tell you anything because every single person is a sinner, mm-hmm. you know. And just the best of sinners are those who repent.
You know, there's also a saying like, you know, when people take their shahada at the mosque or something. They announce that
they're better than you.
Yeah, they announce that you are not better than every person here because all your sins get washed away when you.
Yeah,
like that's the belief.
Right,
and it's like SubhanAllah. I remember one time I was doing Ramadan. I was walking around the Kaaba. This guy, his back was loaded with tattoos, but he was pushing what I assumed to be his mom in a wheelchair around the Kaaba. I'm like, dude, there's nothing more honorable than that. You know, it's just like we said earlier in the podcast. It's not about your past.
It's not about how you start. It's always how you finish. And, you know, that always has to be your humbling point because, right, it does not matter, right? Your life could change in a matter of seconds, right? And, you know, may Allah protect us all. But the thing is, the fact that, you know, you could be starting off as, like, one of the greatest and you know everything, and then all of a sudden you just fall off. You know, we see it happen all the time. So.
And it's like, and then I developed the mindset, right, of, okay, I'm missing prayers. Like, I realized, I'm like, bro, what am I doing? Like, because I want to say I was watched an episode. I think one of y'all episodes I watched, I'm pretty sure. And it was, y'all were like, bro, you could say you know you're supposed to pray at this time, right? Oh, I could do it later. So you push it back. Now it's, you don't know what just could have happened between that point that you were supposed to pray and the point that you decided to pray. Mm-hmm. Anything could have happened at that point in time. And Allah could take you right then and there. And now it's, you just did some haram and now you died in the state of haram, like, because you wanted to push back salat. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand, like, I work, a lot of people work. What I do for work, I can't just up and walk away. If I just up and walk away from what I'm doing without anyone being there to watch and cover for me for a minute, a lot of people can get hurt in that building. People can really legitimately die if something goes wrong in that point of time. So I'm like, okay, I need to pray. And I let all my coworkers know, the plant manager, everyone to listen. I'm Muslim, bro. I got to pray this to the plant manager told me flat out. He said, bro, listen, anytime you need to pray and it's time for you to pray, you just let me know if I'm here or tell someone to get behind that furnace and cover for you. Because at the end of the day, when you need to pray, you need to pray. And if anyone ever gives you a hard time about it, you let me know and I will fire them. And flat out what he told me, because they were in the military. They were in the military, and they've been, like, Afghanistan and everything. They're like, listen, bro, I know that you take your prayer seriously. When you need to pray, I don't care what time it is. You tell someone you need them to cover for you. If they give you a hard time, I will fire them right then and there. And I let them know, like, and if, say, my shift that I run, like, see, Allah have blessed me with my job, bro. I've learned my whole job, and everything I do, I learned it in a month. Mm-hmm. I took a 90-day review in a month and got a 90 on it, like, so now it's like I love what I do legitimately. So I learned it and everything. I became a supervisor in 4 months. So like the people I work with some great people, and they know as well. Like everybody know I'm Muslim. So when it's time, they might not be around. I'll text them, hey, bro, I need you to come babysit this furnace for like 15 minutes, bro. I need to go pray, and I'm going to come right back. Mm-hmm. I'll go. They'll be like, all right, bet. They'll go watch it. I'm going to go pray, come back, and they go on and do what they got to do.
See, here's the thing, exactly. You don't need to make things difficult. You know, if you make it difficult, you make it a big deal, then everybody else is going to make it a big deal. You just let people know straight up, hey, I got to pray. This is my certain times I got to pray. And then you're cool about it. They're going to be cool about it as well.
Mm-hmm. Bro, there's
You'll be surprised.
Bro, there's no excuse half the time, bro. It's like, I make wudu before I even leave for work.
The excuse is...
Because I know when I get to work, as soon as I get there, like beforehand, because I used to have to ride a bike or take the bus, so I leave at 1, Salah came in at 1:35, I'm not going to get to work till about 1:50, 2 o'clock. Now, I made wudu before I left. As soon as I get there, I go straight, grab my work pants, and I go make Salah and change. Mm-hmm. So now, if I need to remake wudu, I remake wudu, but half the time, I'm still in the state of, I make wudu, and I'll be in wudu throughout my whole 8-hour work shift. So it's like, hey, I need to pray. So I'll go down, I'll go do what I got to do, and I'll go pray and go right back. And if I got to remake wudu, I got to remake wudu. If I got to use the bathroom, that's different. But it's like all I do is I sit there and I work. Like, so I'm constantly in wudu regardless, because if I got to break it, it is what it is. But at the end of the day, I'm just going to keep wudu. Like, and so all I got to do is, hey, I'll be back in 15 minutes, bro, I promise. I tell them 15 minutes because it could be longer, it could be shorter, it could be longer. But like, I don't ever tell them, sometimes I accidentally say, hey, I'll be back. I got to go pray. I'll be back real quick. And I'm like, wait, I can't. I tell them real quick, but it's like, I'm not going to rush through my salat. Like, if it's an emergency, like, I tell them, hey, call, if you call me, whatever. Now, I know my phone's over there, but I ignore it while I make a salat. But at the end of the day, I tell them, like, bro, if it is a 911 emergency, come get me. Mm-hmm. And they know, like, okay, cool. They know that when it's time, when I'm praying, they're not going to come bother me unless they really, really, really need me, because I'm the only person at that point in time that knows what to do in certain situations.
Mm-hmm. Cause wait, you say you were a supervisor, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Nice. And I work at a place and we melt called Service Engineer. It's a warehouse I work at, really, but we melt down like nickel-based alloys and products. Mm-hmm. And makes they spray fuse the type of thing that they have contracts with the military.
So there's danger involved and stuff like
that.
Yeah, it's kind of
a hot furnace.
Intense work.
That runs at like lowest we melt is like 2,700 degrees. Mm-hmm. Highest like 2,900. So it's cool though. I see a lot of cool things. It's fun. It's bright. Like you got to wear glasses. Like I don't know if anyone watching this has ever welded before, had a welding visor on, but when you know that when the arc flash goes off when you're welding, mm-hmm. the visor, the tint on there turns blue. That's how you know how bright it is. Mm-hmm. The visor will turn blue. You put a welding mask on and you go look at the metal and the visor turns blue. It's bright, but it's cool, like watching it pour and being able to melt it. Like, it's cool. It's fun. I legitimately enjoy it. And then we pour it and blast it with nitrogen and you watch how it turns from molten metal going through to little powder.
You know, that's amazing, mashallah. So I think that was a good conversation. I think a lot of benefit came out of that one. Aiden, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Man, I'm acting like we just got here. We had a sleep, man. We about to go out, have some fun, you know, inshallah. About to enjoy the free world, alhamdulillah. You know, I really appreciate you coming. I really appreciate doing this on short notice as well. It came out last Wednesday, so alhamdulillah. Thank you for the wisdom and the insight. I hope everybody watching can, you know, take from this.
One thing I want to say before we close is, like, actually focus on, start putting Allah first. A lot of people put other little things first, but when you put Allah first, watch what he does for you, bro. Everything I ever made dua for, I made it for every day, 3 times a day. I made dua by Allah, subhanahu, please bless me with being able to get my own place. I turned around and he blessed me and let me get my own place. Mm-hmm. Then I got one difficult situation. I was like, Allah, please help me figure this out. He figured it out for me. Then it got to the point where I was like, bro, Allah, please bless me with a car and insurance, please. Because I was quoting out insurance. Everything's crazy. And I found a car. I'm like, okay, cool. Insurance, like $426. And I'm still praying for it, though. The next day, wallahi, my mom sent me a car I found. And the car I had gotten now, I call insurance. My insurance was cheaper. I said, alhamdulillah. Turn around the next day, went and got the car. Like, I was in a difficult spot while I was going through it. And Salat came in. I waited about 20 minutes to finish the conversation we had. When salespeople walked away, I turned around and said, Mom, I'll be right back. went, made wudu, sat down, and made salat at the table we were sitting at. The next thing they came back, I finally got the price lowered. I got the car I wanted. Like, he had literally everything I have asked for, he has blessed me with. And like, bro, that's all I say is, bro, take this deen serious. Like, when you read in the Quran where it says, oh, you believe, do you think that you would say that you believe and not get tested? Allah is going to test you, and you're not going to like how it happens. But, bro, I'm going to tell you, when he does it, just remember him at all times. When you get frustrated, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every time, and he going to make something happen every time you need him to, bro.
That's great. MashaAllah.
Wow. Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. Make sure to share this with your friends and family. You never know whose life you could change by sharing this. That being said, we're not scholars, still learning, so we're open to any corrections. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
One last big thank you to Human Development Fund. Click the link in our bio to help the Kenya campaign. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou. For you to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou. forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.